makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. The curtain never falls on the strange drama in this extraordinary world of ours. In every age, people have found strange ways of doing strange things. The strangest of these are gathered and presented to you twice each week. Presented by the makers of X-Lax, who first brought you this chocolated laxative more than 28 years ago. A brief panorama of those 28 years leaves one a little breathless. We played Mahjong, danced to Charleston, took to Kuwait and 18-day diets, wind-blown bobs and Eugenie hats. We had companionate marriages, chain letters, fads, fads, fads. Even in laxatives, 522 imitators of X-Lax have come and gone. And through all these changing years, the demand for X-Lax has grown and grown, until it is the largest selling laxative in the whole world. In America alone, more than 46 million boxes were used last year. What a record for one product to achieve, or should we say, what a product to achieve that record. And the reasons for it? Well, X-Lax is as mild and gentle as any laxative you can take. And yet, for all its mildness, it is thoroughly and completely effective. Then, too, it is so delightful. It tastes like the finest, most delicious chocolate. If you don't know how pleasant X-Lax is, then try it the next time you need a laxative. It is only 10 cents a box at any drugstore.
The Martyr to Etiquette. Social customs have grown so informal, it seems impossible that there was once a time when two coaches would block a narrow road all day long rather than allow one to pass the other. To pass first was a sign of superior rank. In France, there was a time when a woman was judged not on her charm, her beauty, nor even her character, but merely on the way she could make a court bow. Spain was the worst offender. Etiquette reached extremes, which sometimes had tragic consequences. The story of Philip III of Spain, a martyr to etiquette, is one of the tragically comic stories of all time. Philip, King of Spain, a pious, thin-lipped man, sits before a crackling fire. The Marquis de Pobar is with him.
Marquis?
Yes, sir.
Does it not seem extremely warm to you?
Extremely warm. In fact, and I may be guilty of exaggeration, I should say it was hot.
The thought also occurred to me. Will you excuse me while I wipe my brow?
Your Majesty, I will also wipe my own brow.
Thank you very much. It will not be necessary to do so unless you wish.
Oh, Your Majesty, it gives me exquisite pleasure to wipe my brow beside my king.
The perfect courtier. The thought has struck me, Marquis, that the fire is much too warm for any use. Would you mind putting it out?
Oh, Your Majesty, what have I done to deserve this reprimand?
Oh, I am really sorry, Marquis. I had forgotten for the moment that the Duke Duseda has the honor of being royal fire extinguisher. Please forgive me.
I will find the Duke at once, Your Majesty, at once, so that he may put out the fire for you. Your Highness, Duchess Duseda.
Yes, Marquis?
Could you tell me where I might find the Duke?
He is not here in the palace.
What? Not here?
But no, my dear Marquis. Surely you must remember that he left a week ago for a hunting trip to Catalonia.
A hunting trip? Catalonia? But, oh, but this is calamity. This is terrible.
What has happened?
The king wishes to have the fire put out in his private audience chamber, and the Duke, the royal fire extinguisher, is away.
Oh, this is indeed a serious matter, Marquis de Pobar. Please tell His Majesty that I shall send a messenger to the Duke immediately. If all goes well, he should return to the palace within a week, and then he can put out the fire.
Thank you, gracious lady. Thank you. The rules of etiquette will be upheld. Oh, thank you.
¶¶
Your Majesty, I have bad news.
What is the matter? Where is the Duke Juseda? Do you wish your king to roast to death before this fire?
A thousand apologies, sire, but the Duke is on a hunting trip.
But I beg of you, how is the fire to be put out?
The Duchess has sent a messenger post-haste. The Duke will return as soon as possible.
Then I will have to remain before this blazing furnace until he returns.
Your Majesty, I know it is a disgraceful suggestion, but I assure you that only three of us would need to know. You and the Duchess and myself.
Are you by any chance suggesting that I leave the fire?
As I said, Your Majesty, circumstances being as they are, no one would need to know that you had ever sat here in the first place. You could merely leave and the fire would eventually die out.
You imply a scandalous idea, Marquis de Beaubar. Do you think for one moment that the King of Spain will give way to a fire? Never! I will sit before the blaze until it dies out, or until the Duke Juseda returns from Catalonia and puts it out for me.
But, Your Majesty, you will catch a fever, or worse, die of a chill.
Possibly, Marquis, possibly. But at least no one can say that Philip of Spain betrayed the rules of etiquette.
Strange as it seems, Philip III of Spain actually did swelter before the fire so long that he caught a fever, then contracted pneumonia and died. The court thought it a pity, but it never occurred to them to consider it ridiculous. The storm that saved an empire. Typhoon. The strange dead air that precedes the cataclysm. The abrupt fall of the barometer. Then the sudden rise. The lurid skies hanging blood red over the palpitating earth. The increased ocean swell. And in the distance, the ever-approaching darkness, which whips the water into a frenzy, tears trees out of the earth, hurls ships into the air, and buries them under mountains of water. That is the typhoon. It is the year 1281. Kublai Khan, the Mongol emperor, ruler of the mysterious east, host and friend of Marco Polo, holds an audience with the nobility of China. The great hall of his palace in Xanadu is filled with people. Then the bronze doors slowly open. Preceded by 300 nobles in scarlet and gold, Kublai Khan enters the long hall. Finally takes his place on his palanquin studded with emeralds.
Silence! Our celestial Emperor Kublai Khan speaks!
My loyal subjects, I have a proclamation to make. 7 years ago, I sent a fleet of ships to the island of Japan. The gods of war were not favorable to us, and our fleet was destroyed by storms. Now, the time has arrived for China to assert her power for all time against Japan. Japan defies us. She defies the greatest empire in the world. The time has come to show her that no nation can defy Kublai Khan. Therefore, I have ordered the building of an armada of 3,500 ships. I have ordered a crew of 100,000 men. In 6 months, the ships will sail for Japan. This time, the god of war smiles upon us. We will not fail.
The gigantic armada sets sail from China in two divisions, one from the Yangtze River, the other from Korea. At last, they meet at the appointed spot off the coast of Japan. The commander of the fleet, the noble Jing Song, prays before the altar of the war god, Zinga.
Oh, mighty Zinga, make the sails of our ship strong against the wind. Make the sinews of our sailors like those of the tiger. Make our hearts like that of the elephant, and our courage like the wild boar of the jungle. Do this for us, Zinga. Do this for us.
Yes, noble Song.
It grows warmer. The sea is very rough. What does this portend?
I am afraid, Song. I am afraid.
Last night the moon filled the sky with blood. This morning the birds do not follow the ship. Now even the sky grows dark. But I have gained strength from Zinga. This time we cannot fail.
The waters grow very rough, Song. Come out on deck and see for yourself. The devil winds are singing in my ears.
Very well, I will follow you.
Look, the wind has torn the sail in half. It flaps in the breeze like a great bird.
Quick, cut down the sail. There is no time to lose. Signal the fleet to make for shore. The storm will tear us to pieces.
Very well, I go directly. Zinga,
Zinga, oh mighty one, hear me. Hear the voice of your loyal Song. Zinga, Zinga, hear me, hear me. You told the soothsayers it was right for us to come here. Zinga, do not forsake the men of Kublai Khan. Do not forsake us now. We have offered you sacrifices, oh Zinga. Zinga, hear my cry.
Thus it was that Japan was saved from the all-powerful Mongols, who never attempted to conquer Japan again. 3,500 ships were destroyed, almost 100,000 men. The few survivors were killed by the Japanese. Were it not for the typhoon, the history of the world might be very different. Strange as it seems, a typhoon on July 17, 1281, saved the Japanese Empire from destruction by the great fleet of Kublai Khan of China.
Strange, isn't it, how tastes can differ in one family? Brother Bill won't eat carrots. Mother pretends that spinach doesn't agree with her. Dad likes his coffee strong. And if she could get it, young Peggy would eat ice cream for breakfast. Your family undoubtedly presents the same sort of problem. But there is one thing that all the members of the family seem to agree on, and that is Ex-Lax as the family laxative. Ex-Lax is such a treat to take. It tastes like the finest, most delicious chocolate. But, and this is important, as kind as Ex-Lax is to your taste, it is kinder to your system. It is so mild and gentle, you hardly know you have taken a laxative. But for all its mildness, it is completely and thoroughly effective. So when you or any member of your family need a laxative, try Ex-Lax and find out for yourself how delightful, how pleasant it is. The price is pleasant, too. Just 10 cents a box at any drugstore. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. Hong Kong is not a Chinese city.